Ramsey TV.
When our apostle Paul described in detail for us our snatching away to be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he ended that whole section with this saying, therefore comfort one another with this word. Comfort one another. This is Martin Zender broadcasting from Fort Lauderdale. The thought, the expectation of being snatched away from this era, from this eon, should come as a comfort to us. Why? Because the days are wicked. And Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days perilous periods will be present. Even our Lord taught his disciples to pray, deliver us from evil. Every beat of the human heart, especially that of a believer, should want, should anticipate, should look for the coming of Christ. And any teaching which revels in an era, which revels in an eon that is earmarked by the rule of humanity and is earmarked by Satan, who's the god of this eon. Any era like that, yes, it is to be endured, and we do endure it. But as we're enduring it, we look up. We have no love for this eon. I spoke to you yesterday about the teaching of something called the Acts 28 position, which our brother Clyde Pilkington is heralding. This is his thing. This theory was developed by Charles Welch. Not Aaron Welch. Our brother Aaron Welch has taught eloquently against this teaching. With the Acts 28 position, which I told you says that Paul's ministry did not begin for the body of Christ. Paul's ministry to the nations did not begin until he was an old man in jail. This is absurd. But therefore, only those letters Paul wrote from jail are applicable to us today. Therefore, the Acts 28 position, anyone who embraces it, including Clyde, does not believe in the snatching away. And Clyde does not believe in the snatching away of the body of Christ. Why? Because it's in a letter of Paul's that doesn't apply to us. 1 Thessalonians. Early letter belongs to Israel, belongs to an immature body of Christ that has passed away. This is so wrong. Because Paul became a herald to the nations. He states that in Romans, another early letter that doesn't apply to us today. He told the Corinthians, another early letter that supposedly doesn't apply to us today. Mentions the phrase, the body of Christ. I'm going to move on as far as how we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to expect in this eon. But this idea, this theory, that God did not cast Israel aside until Ephesians, until Paul was in jail, until he made that pronouncement in Acts 28:28 concerning Israel rejecting Christ. I'll tell you when that happened. When did Israel get put aside to make way for this gospel of grace and the formation of a group of people called the body of Christ? When was that magic line? When Israel was finished for just temporarily, when was that line where Israel was finished temporarily, and the road was open for a new message to go to the body of Christ. It's not Acts 28:28. It's not at the end of Paul's ministry when he's an old man. It happened when the temple veil was rent at the death of Christ. What an obvious line. How could you want a more obvious line than that? The temple veil, rent in half. The temple veil, which represented limited access to God, which represented God being the, quote, property of one nation. That veil was rent. And yes, there was a 40-year period after that where Israel continues to reject their Messiah. But these various testimonies of Israel's rejection will simply stand as further evidence against them. They need to see, when they are raised at the great white throne, they need to see how they rejected him over and over and over again. But the road was paved when that temple veil rent. Acts 28:28, it's just a review of what God had already done. It is. I read that yesterday. To the nations was sent this message. Yes, it started really when Paul was separated with Barnabas in Acts chapter 13. Yes, he was called in Acts chapter 9. And he started out at first to herald. Well, Paul had a two-part ministry when he began. He heralded to the Jews, his brethren according to flesh, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He used the scriptures for that, of course. Went to the Psalms, went to Isaiah. He went to the prophecies, yes, concerning Christ. And then, at the same time, he spoke to Greeks about a new gospel that included justification and conciliation. The conciliation of the world to God. If you see a difference between Paul's early letters and Paul's later letters, it's not because there's a new era today than existed when Paul was first called. It's not that Paul didn't officially begin his ministry to the nations until he's an old man in prison in Acts 28:28. It's the fact that he's bringing the body of Christ to maturity. I know I said this yesterday, but I want to hammer this home to you. He's bringing the body of Christ to maturity. The beautiful thing about this is all of Paul's letters belong to us. The snatching away of the body of Christ described in an early letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, belongs to us. The secret of the timing of Israel's defection in Romans belongs to us. Paul is dispensing secrets in early letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the changing of our body. Lo, a secret to you I am telling. Yet Clyde and Charles Welch and others say that, well, Paul didn't really reveal any secrets, anything new. Paul didn't reveal anything new until after Acts 28:28. Therefore, only Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians matter to us today. So false. Reject this. Whenever you hear it, Acts 28:28. Acts 28:28 is not a big line. It's really made to be something that it's not inherently. It's another testimony against Israel, this time in a judicial setting, at a trial. They conducted a trial in Rome where Paul's accusers from Israel came to him, and once again Israel rejected God. And in Ephesians, those who want to say that really only that letter and a couple more apply to us, they point to Paul saying that now has come an administration of the secret of Christ, that is to head up all in the universe under Christ, using a called out group of people called the body of Christ. When Paul wrote now, he didn't mean like from the minute he was writing it. He's talking about the era that began with the calling of the nations. Paul even says in Ephesians, in that era you were apart from God, apart from God. So the line is not only when the temple veil was rent, but when Paul began to herald among the nations. That's when it started. Every letter he wrote since then, which is every letter, belongs to us. So you don't have to micromanage Paul. It's enough, isn't it, to separate Paul from the circumcision writers? That's the important distinction. Don't cut Paul up for God's sake. Yet this is what the Acts 28:28 position does. And it also causes people, as I have been reading to you from this article, The Era is Limitless. It also causes people to look at verses like 1 Corinthians 7:29, the era is limited. It causes people to look at that. It causes Clyde Pilkington to look at that and to say that, well, yes, that era was limited before Paul's actual ministry started, but this era is limitless. The instructions Paul gave to the believers there to hold loosely to things. Oh, that's part of a previous administration. Now, Paul would never give that advice today. He would never tell us today to hold loosely to things, to use the world but don't use it up, to buy things but not retain them, to treat our wives and husbands and even our children as though not having them. I'll explain exactly what that means, because our brother Clyde has no clue what that means. I'm sorry. I really hate to say these things. Yesterday, I woke up feeling really bad about this. I really did. I was thinking that I'm just not going to name his name again because of the... I tell you, and I've told you this before, but I have to say this again, is Clyde and his family showed me so much love after my relationship trial back in 2013, and they accepted me into their home and gave me a home. Well, they didn't exactly give it to me. I paid rent, but there was a period there where I lived freely at the hospitality of the Pilkingtons. Wonderful family. Love them. Love Clyde like a father, honestly. And I woke up yesterday saying, I can't continue this. This is hard on me. I don't like doing it. But these teachings are so destructive to your peace. Tearing half of Paul's letters away from us, what could be really more damaging? To say that the snatching away of the body of Christ belongs to a previous era, to say and to hope that this eon, where Satan rules, where man rules, which Paul calls the current wicked eon, to think and hope that this is limitless, that this just keeps going on and on, and so encouraging us to dive into life headfirst, and to encourage people to not look, encourage believers to not look at prophecy, to not even try to figure out where we are on the Aeonian calendar. Is that what we're supposed to do? No. And so I have to continue in this vein because God put it on me to do this. I've done it before. I've written about this. I will link you today to an article written by me and our brother Aaron Welch about... The title of this article is Exposing the Two Bodies of Christ Deception. Yes, it's basically, that's what this Acts 28:28 thing is. There was an early body of Christ that believed Israel things. It was all related to Israel. And then there's a later body of Christ, which we're members of. The immature body of Christ was a different body of Christ. And the new body of Christ is the current body of Christ. Splitting the body of Christ? Are you kidding me? Volume 5, issue 42 of the ZWTF, linked below, Exposing the Two Bodies of Christ Deception. That's what it is. So I have to continue this because it's on my heart. And we are in the final era, which began in Paul's day. And the era was limited even back then. It doesn't mean the time was short. I'm going to show you how Clyde again mistranslates Paul in order to put forward this viewpoint. But Paul never said the time is short. He said the era is limited. In other words, the era is being wrapped up. And yes, it started in Paul's day. It was being wrapped up then. The fashion of this world is passing by, Paul said. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the fashion of the world is passing by. Is it now not passing by? If those having wives be as not having them belong to a previous administration, then, and if holding on loosely to things of this world belong to a previous administration, then is the eon not passing by now? You have to look at the whole context of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which I'm going to do in the days ahead, And there is also, I hate to say this. In the same article called The Era is Limitless, that should bother you. The era is limitless. That should really, really bother you. And I'm saying it to bother you, to warn you about it. Clyde has a list of like 80 times that people have mispredicted the return of Jesus Christ. And because there have been so many wrong prophecies proffered by careless people, our brother uses that as a springboard to say, therefore, no one should look into these things. Because there have been so many wrong predictions, therefore, we can't know when Christ is going to return. That is illogical. It doesn't follow. It's a non sequitur to say that because so many people were wrong, nobody can be right. Or could it be that people were just misreading the prophecies? Of course that's what it is. Of course somebody's going to be right because somebody's going to nail it. Somebody's going to see what was there the whole time that maybe God didn't want seen before, but now becomes evident. I'm speaking of the 6,000 years from Adam and the 2,000 years from Christ. Any prophecy that predicts the coming of Christ before the passage of 6,000 years from Adam, of course it's going to be wrong. It's only a matter of elapsed time. When the 6,000 years have run their course, then Christ will come. It's that simple. And when 6,000 years have elapsed, and as I've told you before, we can count the years. When 6,000 years have elapsed, Christ will come and set up the kingdom. And at that time, a kindergartner can tell you when Christ is going to return. So the reason all these prophecies have been wrong, and besides, somebody who's reading the prophetic parts of Scripture and comes to a conclusion based on them, that person is not a prophet. So I shouldn't even call these prophecies. That person is reading prophecies and drawing conclusions based on the prophecies. And because all of these were wrong, therefore, nobody's right. Now, that is illogical. There were prophecies telling when Christ would come. This is why Anna and Simeon knew when Jesus Christ was born, because of prophecy. They could read the years in Daniel 9. Oh, the 490 years that God has segregated for Israel to bring everything to a conclusion. Yeah, if you counted 490 years from the time that Cyrus set forth the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, then Christ should have come a long time before that. But you have to know that you can't include the time when Israel is in, when Israel has been taken in exile, or you can't count the time where they were under foreign powers. See, that's an inside piece of information that you have to know. If you don't know that, you're going to be wrong. But if you do understand that, then you're going to be right. So it's not the fact that because nobody got it right, therefore that nobody got it right so far, that nobody will get it right now, it's ridiculous. Because people who understood how to read that prophecy got it right. Again, the three wise guys came from the east, asked Herod, where is your Messiah to be born? Herod looked in the scriptures, Micah, in Bethlehem. Oh, what do you know? A prophecy that was right, that people read and understood. I'm going to get into all these things in the days ahead. I'm going to tell you what we should be occupied with and what we should not be occupied with. I need to end. I don't want to end. I want to keep going because there's so much to say here. This is going to be, it might seem ugly, but it's not. In 2 Timothy, I will end with this. I don't want to, but I have to for today. But tomorrow's another day. Maybe not. See, we're always to look to the coming of Christ. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. What words? That we will be with Christ and that we will see our loved ones who have died in Christ again. That was the whole context of 1 Thessalonians 4. Comfort one another with these words. Are you comforted by the thought that this era is limitless? That's the title of this article by our brother. The current era is limitless. What? It's not. It is limited. It will go only so far, and then it will cease. It is not going to go on another five centuries. I'm going to get into all that. I'm going to get into the numbers. Yes, I'm going to get into the numbers. We're supposed to comfort one another with the thought that Christ could return at any time. We're to look for his coming. We're exhorted to look for it. We're exhorted to have our eyes in heaven, not down here on earth. We're to set our affection on things above, not things on the earth. Yet our brother actually tells us to set our affection on things on this earth. I'm going to show you that. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, our apostle Paul to Timothy. Furthermore, there is reserved for me the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the just judge, will be paying to me in that day, yet not to me only, but also to all who love his advent. What did Paul mean by all who love his advent? Just that. They love his advent. They love his appearing. They hope for it. They want it. It helps them get through their day. It helps them endure trials to think that the trials could soon be over. But this crazy Acts 28:28 thing and this crazy thing that the era is limitless actually asks you to revel in your trials and to hope that they keep going on so that you can have more trials, so that you can be an even better person, and on. This is so wrong. And I think you instinctively know that. But I'm going to back up your hunch here with scripture. And to do that, I have to expose a teaching that is out there, that is widespread, that is published, and that some people reading are tripping and being discouraged about where we are on the Aeonian calendar, about where we are in our own walk, and about which letters of Paul apply to us and which don't. They all apply to us, I am happy to tell you. And Paul's letters did go from glory to glory. Oh yes, they did go from immaturity to maturity. But it's all for us. And we're not going to take part of it and amputate it. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So let's do this for the next few days. Let's not condemn anyone. I don't condemn our brother. I love him. Any of us are subject to error. We need to check up on each other. I would expect anybody to do that with me. I'm going to do it for them, which in turn does it for the body of Christ.